praise the Lord for you.
Blog Talk Radio.
Thank God for you on the Blog Talk who are coming and combining with the prayer line. My God, what a mighty force. I understand over 100 million listeners and 195 different nations. I greet you from all over the world, coming to you so as humbly as I can, as a lamb coming before shepherds and shepherdess. And we appreciate all of you in the name of Jesus. We greet you. Oh, God. God has been so good. I'm so excited about my new assignment. Amen. Added to my other assignments, God said, son, I want you to help the people around the world to even realize to another level, how good, God said, how good I have been to them. He says, between last night or yesterday morning when you were on the prayer line and this morning, he said, he's not only done a few things for you, not 100 things for you or hundreds. He said he's done thousands of things for you. He woke you up this morning, started you on your way, gave you joy, gave you peace, gave you love, protected you through the storm and the rain, lifted you up when you're falling down. He let your heart beat at least 1,000 times last night when you didn't know anything about it. Let your mind think this morning. Let your legs move this morning. Gave you legs to walk, mouth to talk, eyes to see, ears to hear. And on top of that, let you breathe at least 1,000 times when you didn't even know anything about it. Yesterday and a few days before that, let you walk several thousand times. Let your legs and feet walk several thousand times. He's been good to you, mighty, mighty good. And God says, I've been so good to them, some don't realize what I've done for them. And so my assignment is just to bring it to you so all of us will be able to see. It's not something that's negative. It's positive. Just to say that he's been so, so good to all of you who hear me. Amen. That's the reason why we ought to praise him. Amen. God has blessed us so much, so much. And some people want to praise him on a great level. I want to thank you for it. And others do the best they can. If you just do the best you can, amen, that's good enough. Let's go to God in prayer right now. Heavenly Father, oh, I kind of greatest privilege of my life to be able to talk to you. And God, you have so much, actually more wisdom than anybody on the face of this earth. You've been through it all, God. You create man in your own image. And therefore, when we hurt, we know that you hurt. When we see, we know you see. When we can smell, we know that you can smell. When we breathe, we know that you can breathe. When our heart is beating, we know that you feel the heartbeat. God, you created us in your own image, according to Genesis, rather. And so, therefore, Lord, we know that all the experiences that we have, everything that's good, and even the evil we experience, God, we know that you have experienced it because we're made in your own image. We just thank you for all these experiences that we have, and we know that you can solve any problem because you made us. Amen. Anytime that we're going through a storm, God, we know that you're with us and you bring us through. God, that's why we have to leave things in your hands, because you know how to navigate through anything. And we love you, we praise you, we appreciate you. Remember when Jehoshaphat was facing that situation, Lord, and you brought him through with flying colors. Thank you. And remember when I had asthma and you brought me through, Lord, in a great way. Thank you. You healed my body. God, is there anything too hard for you? And Abraham said no. I'm saying no also, Lord. There's nothing too hard for you. look on these precious people on the prayer line. Help them and bless them. And these are the ones who are getting up for you, God, to give you glory and to give you adoration. And we thank you for what you've done already and for what you're doing now and even in the future, the things that you shall do. Thank you for the marvelous youth prayer line that we had on last night and for how you blessed that. Thank you in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the blog line. God, we thank you 1,000 times. I want to thank you for letting us thank you. Oh, my Lord, you were there all the time and receiving these praises that went up last night. Thank you so much. I know on Tuesday that youth prayer line, thank you so much. Yeah, you're so ultra awesome. We give you glory and we give you praise. Now, Lord, bless every person under the sound of my voice in the name of Jesus. Many have prayer requests before you. I'm placing my faith with them and asking you to look on those persons and give them the desires of their hearts. In the name of Jesus, we pray. We do take the authority as you gave to us in Matthew 18 and 19. For your word says, whatever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever we loose on this earth shall be loosed in heaven. And then your word says, not one jot nor tittle of it shall go unfulfilled, and heaven and earth would have to pass away before your word would go unfulfilled. Thank you for it. I bind the enemy on this line. Ask that you would send your strong angels after him and put the blood of Jesus in the spirit realm on him. If he's got his hand on anybody on this front line, including me, put the blood of Jesus under his hand so he don't have to lift it and get on away from here. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it. Oh, God, I know that that's in your will, that the enemy would not have his hand on any of your people, that we would be set free. I loose Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Ask you if you would put an anointing on these people. Destroy every yoke that's destroying anything they try to do for you. Destroy every yoke that is trying to destroy that daughter. Destroy every yoke that's trying to destroy that son. Every yoke that's trying to destroy them in the name of Jesus. And God, we cancel every assignment of the enemy. And we plead the resurrection blood of Jesus against it. And thank you for it. Your blessings are on this line. And Holy Ghost, please forgive us. God, please forgive us for any transgression against me. Anything that you didn't like. We ask for forgiveness. Omission and commission. And we praise you for it. And thank you for it. You're the only one who can forgive to all sins. And Lord, place us on a road to eternal life. Thank you for it. Now, give us a great day here. Bless every person on the line and those who participate, who give you praise reports and et cetera, Lord, and even bless my message. Bless, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. My God. My God. Who on this line is awake? My mother taught me. Mother Ellie Johnson taught me, son, when you come in the room, speak. And then she taught me those who you speak to, they're supposed to speak back to you. Amen. I don't know if y'all had that. I'm sure you did. Your father, your mother, somebody taught you that. Amen. So I'm coming in the room right now. I'm speaking to you. Good morning to you. Good morning, all of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Amen. God bless you. And then I know this for myself. Mama taught me that when I grew up to maybe 13, 12, 13 years old, I found out that the Lord can come in your room. And when he comes in, don't treat him like he's not there. You know, treat him like you know. And you welcome him there. Amen. It's very, very important. If you really believe that God is real, you ought to believe that he can He can walk in the room like the disciples were standing there after they had risen from the grave. He was standing there and talking with
them. Oh, Jesus.
Jesus walked through the, you might say, chains in the wall. And he was in the room before they even knew it. And Thomas said, I won't believe that you're really real unless I thrust my hands. He had heard him say that, before he came in the room. Unless I put my hands in your side and see your nail-scarred hands. And he said, here I am. I heard you talking, Thomas, and I am alive. So he can come in your room. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Good morning, Lord. Let's speak to him. He's coming in the room right
now. Good morning, Lord.
Good morning, Lord. Thank you.
Thank you.
And since he's there, amen, I've been teaching over and over again that he inhabits your praises. He's not coming to a pity party.
Thank you.
Dry eyes and praise him, and you'll see the Lord do great things for you. Let's give him adoration and praise this morning. This is a praise check, Amazing Grace, and this line is the home of the praise check. Don't let nobody beat you doing a praise check. This is the home of the praise check. And here we go. Praise check, everybody. Good morning, Lord. Mighty good. You know, y'all are coming up and are doing so, so great. And thank you. God is really so ultra awesome, and you give him that great praise. Thank God for you. We appreciate you so very, very much. Amen. This is a great day. This Friday, the Executive Council has declared this as to be every day to be a day of the Lord. But on Fridays is my day, amen, the chief ambassador. And I say that with all humility, but thank God that I do, that the executive council has recognized me and has given me a day. Thank God for them. I'm going to try to bring this message off the cuff here, a message that God gave me, which is one that, oh, my God, has blessed my heart and my soul and my mind. Hopefully it will bless you. I'm just trying to bring it from my heart to be a blessing to you. Amen. Let me see. If you got your Bibles, go to 1 Kings, the 17th chapter and the 8th verse. If you don't have it, go get your Bible. This will bless you. Amen. 1 Kings 17 and 8. All right. I may have to put this in two portions because I don't want to hold you too long. Maybe part one today and maybe part two on Monday. All right. 1 Kings 17 and 8. I'm surprised I didn't say part two on tomorrow, because I really never look at Vegas too much, you know. So, but I do know that this is Friday and got so much on my plate. If y'all really knew. Oh, my God. But anyway, let's go 17 and 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him. Who is him? Elijah. Mm-hmm. Saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman. Mm-hmm. I've had commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. And the 10th verse. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, he came to the gate. I want to emphasize that. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And then verse 11, and as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. I'm in the King James Version, verse 12 now, 17th chapter, is verse 12. You got it? Verse 12 of the 17th chapter, 1 Kings 17 and 12. And she said, and this is the widow woman, she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks. I want to emphasize that. I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Now, watch this, verse 13. This is the 17th chapter, 1 Kings. Verse 13, and Elijah said unto her, fear not. God has not given you the spirit of fear. Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. Mm-hmm. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall there the cruse of oil fail unto the day that the Lord sent rain upon the earth. Mm. And she went and did according to the saying of the prophet Elijah. And she, oh my God, look at this. Thank you, Jesus. And she, and he, and her house, did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. My Lord, I want to talk and go back here and emphasize this just for a moment. Watch this again, verse 10, 17 and 10, the B portion of that section of that verse. And he, and when he came to the gate, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks, and he called to her. Yeah, when he came to the gate, she was there gathering sticks. I want to talk about from the house to the gate. From the house to the gate. If we go further back in the context, now, the context of any scripture is extremely important. You cannot read a verse and think that that's all to it. You must go back and read before the verse and even after the verse. And sometimes you have to go to the beginning of the chapter to really get the essence of the verse to tell you what is really going on. The context is extremely important. Here in 1 Kings, the 17th chapter, In the context, we see that Elijah is a major prophet of God. And he goes to Ahab, which is the king of that area. Yeah. Judah and Israel. And Ahab is an arrogant, pompous king. You have to understand, in that day, kings were so powerful that if anybody came before them, they normally kept a, I don't know what you would call him, but he would chop off the head of anyone who came and insulted or did or tried to do anything to the king. He was more than an armor bearer. He was an executor. That's what you'd call him. That's why I still know that God's power had to be so phenomenal, ultra awesome, when Moses went before the Pharaoh, who was over everything in that land. You remember that? And said, "Let my people go." God said it. God said, "Let my people go." Now, you got to put this on your plate where you are. How important is that for someone to stand there and buck the king, you might say, buck the Pharaoh, come against him, saying that somebody's got more power than you? And understand at the same time, that's why when Jesus was born and the three wise men went before who was a king, Herod, I believe, and he was trying to find out where the new king of the Jews was born, because he was going to kill him, you know. And he had all the children 2 years old and under killed because he was trying to kill Jesus. They didn't let anybody stand up against them. Moses stood up before the Pharaoh, what was it, about 10 times, and said, God said, "Let him go. He's going to send pestilence to the land." And the last one was that he's going to kill the firstborn of every family, even the slaves. So he didn't stand up against those kings. Here Ahab is standing up before the king there, Ahab. I'm sorry, you got me. Amen. This is early. Here is King Ahab, and here you got Elijah the prophet. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Standing up before Ahab, yeah. And he's saying, it's not going to rain in this earth, in this territory, in your area, until I say so. You won't see dew nor rain. And you go stand up before a tyrant like that and say, it's not going to be dew nor rain in this territory until I say so. And then when he got out of, he made it out of there. And when he got out of there, he got out of Dodge. He left the area. Yeah, in a hurry. It kind of reminded me of myself when I went to, what was it, Malaysia. And I was there blowing my horn for Jesus and preaching. And I was there in Malaysia. The people who had sent for me, I was staying there in one of the homes of the people. And they came to me early, no, it was late one evening, in the evening time around 6 o'clock. And they wanted to talk to me. And I came in the living room and I sat down. They said, "Dr. Johnson, there's a very serious matter we have to talk with you about." I said, "What is it?" And they said, "We received word from the government that you are not to preach nor blow your horn anymore in Malaysia, nor for sure tell anybody about this Jesus that you and I believe in." They were Christians. And they said, you are forbidden to do this by the government. And it's so serious, Dr. Johnson, let me say to you, that when the government has arrested, they said they would arrest you if you did this. And they said, "We're so serious that we know that anybody that we see who are Christians who they have arrested here in Malaysia, when they have been arrested We have never seen them again. Never.
No better.
And so I had to make a decision. Somebody has your line open back there, darling. Amen. Would you mute your line? You're talking. Amen. I had to make a decision whether I would go out there and preach Jesus and blow or not. Amen. Because they had told me that they would arrest me if I did talk about Jesus. They're very adamant. In certain foreign countries, you cannot. They don't want you to preach Jesus. We are so fortunate here in America. I decided for God I'll live and for God I'll die. And I went out on the stage that night and preached as hard as I could. I said, well, you know, if they're gonna get me, I might as well go out first class. So I went out there and flew like I had never blown my horn before. And those Malaysians, oh, my God, they were so enthused. And the Lord began to move in a special way. I gave the invitation, and the altar was full of Malaysians coming to accept Jesus Christ. They accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they accepted Jesus Christ, I said to them, now you need to read your Bibles. And I think we handed out, I'm not sure, but they had Bibles. Maybe we handed out Bibles. And I said, I want you to read the book of John. And then I said, and there are churches here in Malaysia that we want to get you to be involved in, Bible-believing churches. And I got them involved in the churches, the pastors with their et cetera. And when I got them involved, I think I'm at the end, I start blowing Amazing Grace, amen. And I start blowing that. And right between the curtains was a split right behind me now. There was a split. And I start blowing Amazing Grace and stepping backwards as I'm blowing Amazing Grace. And I stepped out of the curtains, waving my finger on Amazing Grace. And when I stepped through the curtains closed. They couldn't see me. There was a limousine, a car waiting back there. And I got inside that limousine. I said, take me straight to the airport. And they took me straight to the airport. I got on a flight, and I got out of Dodge. I did just like the Bible says here. Yeah, yeah. As soon as he told that king there was going to be no dew no rain to Elijah, and said, get out of Dodge, leave there. And he went to the book Cherith. The same thing that, God did for Jesus. Here Jesus is born by, the Holy Ghost impregnated Mary. And here's Joseph, who is the caretaker father, and Mary, the caretaker mother. And the Holy Ghost spoke to them and said, get him out of here. Taken to Egypt because Herod's trying to kill him. See, some of y'all, you got to understand, when you're in harm's way, the Holy Ghost may tell you to get out of harm's way. Amen. So I got out of Dodge and went straight to the airport. Now, here is Elijah spoke to this king, and he got out of there, and the Holy Ghost sent him to the book Cherith. And then he commanded the birds to feed him and brought him meat and bread in the morning, and then meat and bread in the evening. And let me tell you something. That tells me right away, no matter who you are, no matter what the enemy wants to do, if you're leaning and depending on the Lord, he's going to take care of you. Even if he has to have the birds to feed you, he will take care of you. I've been young, and now I'm old, the prophet said, and now I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor seed begging bread. He's going to take care of you. Just hold on to the hand of the Lord. If you are a widow woman, he will take care of you. If you are a divorcee woman, he will take care of you. If you are a single woman, he will take care of you. And so here, it's proven here by Elijah at the brook Cherith that the Lord fed him through the birds. Now, I want you to see something here from the house to the gate. Here is Elijah. Now, I want to ask you, what is a blessing? What is a blessing? If someone said a blessing is God's favor on your life and God doing special things for you that no man or no woman can do, you would be correct. That's a good interpretation. If you said that a blessing is something that God sends from heaven down to earth to improve life, be a great. great blessing to you, you would be correct. But may I suggest to you that a blessing can also be an individual sent by God. Yeah, a blessing. An individual sent by God with something that God has given them. It may be some gift that he has or whatever, but an individual sent by God. And then a curse can be an individual sent by God too. But here is a blessing sent by God. Yeah, here is the Lord sending his prophet Elijah sent by God. And he sends him to the brook Cherith. Now, won't you see this also? That in that land, famine has hit. What did Elijah say to Ahab? There will not be dew nor rain in this area until I say so. In other words, I'm speaking for the Lord. He gave it to me, told me to tell you, he's locking up the heavens. There's not going to be no rain here. And so there was famine everywhere. Famine where there's no food, no nothing. You can't feed yourself because there's no food to feed you with. The cows are dying everywhere. The goats are dying everywhere. The roosters and hens and all the chickens are dying everywhere. No nothing. You can't eat nothing because there ain't nothing. And so it is hit here in that land. And here is the prophet Elijah by the brook Cherith being fed through the auspices of the Holy Ghost through the birds. Now, let's go over here to Zarephath. Zarephath is a part of that area, and here's a widow woman who is experiencing famine. She has no food. Money won't buy food because there's none to buy. Everything is dying everywhere, famine everywhere. And hopefully this will never hit America. But it hit that area there by Judah and Israel. My God, it was because Ahab, the king, and the people had become so sinful. And God sent a plague there, no dew nor rain. Now, this woman in Zarephath was hungry. And her son, she had a boy. Evidently her husband was dead. Because in that day, they were not people who would have children out of wedlock. It was a taboo in that area to ever do that. And so her husband must have been dead. And here she is, a widow woman, which clarifies that right away, that she is a widow woman. And she is going, thinking in her mind that we're going to die now. There's no food, nowhere. That's a normal thought to have because there's no food nowhere. But she is a Christian woman. And so I know she's been talking to God because Christians, that's what they do. They get a hold of God whenever they're going through. You don't have to worry about trying to teach anybody what to do while they're going through a storm. A storm will teach them what to do. They'll get on their knees and pray. So this woman is leaving her house now. She's got to live in a house because Elijah, the prophet, you find, if you read the context of it, you'll find that he was in the house when her son later on died, and he took him upstairs in the house. So she was at the house, and she had decided that I got to do something here and cook the last meal because we're going to die. So she left the house. Won't you see this? She left the house. And because later on in the context of this, you'll see that she went to the gate to pick up sticks. So now I want you to get this picture in your mind. Here God sending the blessing. Elijah, may I suggest to you that he was the blessing, a person who is the blessing. Goes to Ahab, it's not going to rain, no dew. God said, get out of there. I want you to go to the brook Cherith. And I've commanded the birds to feed you. So he's on his way. Doesn't know where he's going exactly, but right now he knows he's going to Cherith, the brook, and the birds feed him. But here's the widow woman over here on the right, over here in Zarephath, and she's starving to death. And she doesn't know where she's going to get food from. She doesn't know how she's going to make it. She doesn't know anything. All she knows is that maybe if she can get some sticks, she can maybe cook the meal, a little meal in the bottom of a barrel and a little oil to mix it up. You women know about that, more than I do. But she's going to cook this little cake, and she and her son are going to die. She doesn't know how she's going to make it other than that. But now look over on the left. Here is the blessing over at the brook Cherith. And even though the woman over on the right at Zarephath is leaving her house now, she doesn't know what's going to happen. But at the same time she's leaving her house, maybe a little bit before, the blessing over here on the left at Cherith is on the way. The blessing is on the way, and she doesn't know where the blessing is. See, the reason why she couldn't see her blessing is because most of the time, I'm preaching this message, blessings are come in a right angle. See, a right angle has, you might say, a horizontal level, and then right at a vertical area also. There's a vertical and there's a horizontal. And most of the time, you can't see your blessing because you're on the horizontal. On the horizontal, you see from left to right. Oh, my God. You see from east to west or west to east, and you just look that way, and you see as far as you can on the horizontal. But see, the blessing is on the vertical. See, and when the horizontal and the vertical meet, there's a corner right there, right, a very sharp corner that separates the horizontal that goes one way and the vertical that goes straight up and down. The vertical goes north and south, and the horizontal goes east and west. And the reason why, and there's a corner right there at the end, right there that separates them both. And see, the reason why you can't see your blessing is because the blessing is not on the horizontal, it's on the vertical. And the blessing is just around the corner. See, that's why the enemy is trying to make you give up right now, because he knows that the blessing is on the vertical, it's right around the corner. You can't see the blessing, but it's right around the corner. And the enemy wants to make you fail. And let us be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. He wants you to fail. He wants you to faint when your blessing is just around the corner. But you can't see it because you're on the horizontal. The blessing is on the vertical. And here the woman is leaving her house on the way to the gate. Mm-hmm. She can't see a blessing, but the blessing is on the way. Oh, Elijah is at the brook Cherith. He's the blessing, and he's on the way. He doesn't even know he's on the way. But when the brook dries up, who do you think caused the brook to dry up? God caused the brook to dry up. So he's the blessing, and he's going to send the blessing to the woman over here at Zarephath. When the brook dried up, he says to Elijah, "Elijah, go to Zarephath." Well, see, if the brook was still with water and the ravens were still bringing the food, then it would have been difficult for the prophet to realize that God was doing something else. So even in the prophet's life, something dried up, he had problems. You know, even though you're a prophet, even though you're a saved woman, man, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, see, you don't have problems. The brook dried up, problems, problems, problems. You got your bills stacked high, problems. You got, seemed like a pain in your side, problems. See, the brook dried up. But he's the blessing, and that causes him to leave there because the brook was dry. And where you going, Elijah, the prophet? The blessing, I'm going to Zarephath. Here's the woman over on the right side. Where you going, woman of Zarephath? The brook dried up for the prophet, and you got famine in your land, no food, nowhere. What you going to do? I'm on my way, leaving the house. I'm on my way to the gate, and I'm on my way to try to get some sticks that I might make some fire and cook the little meal I got in the bottom of the barrel and the cruise of oil to mix it up, and then me and my son are going to die. But the blessing is already on the way. And when the woman is making her way from the house over here on the right and walking to the gate, let me tell you something. God can turn it around by the time you leave your house and get to the gate. I'm telling you, God can turn it around for you. Oh, my God. She gets to the gate and starts picking up sticks. Oh, my God. And here's the blessing that it left the brook Cherith and gets to the gate. And when the blessing gets to the gate, here's the woman picking up sticks. She had left the house, but by the time she gets to the gate, here is Elijah. Looks and sees her. And the blessing says to her, "Woman, go fetch me some water." You see, sometimes even though you left the house and got to the gate, there may be a little test for you to see if you really have faith to believe what God has sent to you, the blessing that he sent to you. He says, "Woman, get me some water." And she doesn't hesitate. She leaves to go get the water. And then he says, on the way while she's going, "And bring me a little cake." And then she says, "Oh, sir, as the Lord God liveth, all I have is a little meal," you might say, "the bottom of the barrel and cruse of oil, and I'm going to mix it up, and I'm going to fix this for me and my son." You see, it's famine everywhere. There's no food anywhere. And we're going to eat this and die. He said, "Go do like you said you were going to do. But bring me the cake first. And then go back and do like as you said for you and your son. And as the Lord liveth, as you do and obey what I have asked you to do, given by God," he says, "the mule at the bottom of the barrel will not cease, and the cruse of oil will not run out." And she obeys the prophet of God and goes there and fixes this for him and brings it. And sure enough, God honored the prophet's words during that famine. Her meal in the bottom of the barrel did not run out, and the cruse of oil did not cease. I don't know how it happened. I mean, God is God. He performs miracles the way he wants to perform it. But I don't know if somebody heard that she had been kind to the prophet, and those people in that day were very, very adamant about treating the preacher and the prophet of God in a very respectful manner. They were not like the people today. These folk were kids will curse out folk to their face. They'll curse out no matter who it is. They don't care. But the people in that day were very, very respectful of the men of God. I don't know if it happened like this, that they heard that this woman had showed kindness to this prophet Elijah. And all around the area, "Elijah's in town. Elijah's in town. The men of God, God's man is in town. He's there. He's there. He's staying there at the widow's woman, the widow house. He's there at her house. Yeah, yeah. He's there. And we got to make sure we don't have hardly nothing, but we got to make sure that the prophet has something to eat. We got to make sure. And I know that she got a meal barrel. We got to bring a little bit we got." So they may have come from everywhere and poured their meal in that barrel that she might be able to feed the prophet because they respect for the prophet. I don't know how it happened, but God performed. One thing I do know, God performed the miracle. And you can't tell how miracles happen, but there's something that God does that no man can do. Oh, my God. And the miracle happened. That woman didn't have to worry about no mule in the meal barrel any longer. She didn't have to worry about a cruse of oil any longer. She had plenty of oil and meal. It didn't run out. Because the miracle happened right there for that widow woman and therefore. Now, let me go back to how it really came about. Here, more so, I know I explained that to you a while ago. That's a presumption. I don't know how it happened. It's not in the text. But here I do know that the widow woman was at the gate and she was picking up sticks. Oh, my God. Picking up sticks. Oh, my God. And from that, there's some principles that you got to really know that will help you the rest of your life. The rest of your life. If you get these principles, it will change your life forever. Uh-huh. Let me just tell you one of the principles. I got to go here. One of the principles is this, that while you are in the midst of a famine, don't ever stop picking up sticks. Did you hear what I said? I said, while you're in the midst of the famine, or while the famine is going on, don't ever stop picking up sticks. Now, oh, my God, I'm out of time today. God bless you. I'll be back Monday and tell you my principles to this message. The first one, while you're in the midst of a famine, don't ever stop picking up sticks. I'll explain that to you on Monday. Amen. And then I got two more, and I'll